Okay, good evening. First of all, I have to say I am not sure what the word is, but very, very impressed, blown away actually, by the sight of it. I had no idea, my daughter's told me this is here. I thought it was a very nice thing. I expected to find 10 people here or something like that. And to see so many people coming out to learn Torah in the middle of it's final soon, no? You know, so. Nah, who cares? Okay, well, even if it's not, it's really, really impressive, and I think it's a tremendous tribute to the kind of community you have here, and I'm just really glad to see that such a thing is happening. I'm very happy to be able to take part in it a little bit. It's always a difficult thing when you're asked to give a shiur sort of randomly, one-time shiur, not part of any kind of series. So if there's a chag like the next week, so you get a little bit of a an opportunity, but that's not really the case right now either. I could have maybe pushed Tu B'Shvat, but it would be really pushing it, and anyway, wouldn't have wouldn't have come up with anything more inspiring than what we're going to do tonight. There were some people who said to me when they heard the topic, couldn't you do something a little bit more inspiring, Tanakh, or something like that? I was asked to give a shiur, some lamdus and some logic and some halachas, so that's what we're going to do. I hope you'll enjoy it, and if you want me to come back another time and do something else, I'll be happy to do that also. But in the context of trying to come up with something that that would be both interesting and also at least practical. So I came up with this topic, Chiyuv Nashim B'Kiddushin Havdalah, which is of practical relevance. Obviously the young women here, it's more directly relevant to them, although the guys, as we'll see, have what to learn from this also, Halach Lamasa. And in addition, it's a topic that enables us to explore a few different aspects of a topic and perhaps to see a little bit how multiple layers of halacha exist in something that perhaps we don't always realize has these levels of complexity. So that's what we're going to talk about. There's a mitzvah called Kiddush, as we all know. We'll get to Havdalah a little bit later on. And that mitzvah, we'll start with the first source on the sheet, Braisa quoted by the Gemara in Masechet Pesachim, Tanu Rabbanan, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho, Zochrehu Al Hayayim. And I'm not going to read the whole thing inside. There's a little bit of a problem with the text here, but the bottom line, the underlined section, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho, Zochrehu Al Hayayim B'Knisato, Ein Li Ela B'Layla B'Yom Minayin, Tamud Lamar, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat. This braisa derives from a pasuk that we're all familiar with, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho, pasuk that appears in the Aseret HaDibrot, in the Ten Commandments, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho, and that, according to this Gemara, is the source for a mitzvah. A mitzvah that is assumedly d'oraita. It comes from a pasuk in the Torah. And we're told that we have to recognize, acknowledge the existence of Shabbat, b'knisato, at the beginning of Shabbat. Therefore, that would be done in the evening, shortly after Shabbat begins. Al hayayin. And then the Braisa also has an additional source which teaches us that it has to be repeated again in the daytime. So there's a mitzvah to make Kiddush at night, say a bracha over Yayin, which recognizes the holiness of Shabbat at night, and then you have to repeat it again in the daytime. I won't go through all the sources from which this is derived, but it turns out, according to the overwhelming majority of Rishonim, that although the mitzvah that we're dealing with here fundamentally is a mitzvah from the Torah, some of the requirements are midrabanan. In other words, it says here that you have to recognize Shabbat with a bracha at night, Friday night, and then again Shabbat morning. The accepted position of Allah, actually, we can read it actually in the next source here. Katav HaRambam, Mitzvah Asei Min HaTorah LeKadesh Et Yom HaShabbat BiDvarim Shenemar Zachor Et Yom HaShabbat LeKadesho. Klomar Zochrehu Zechirat Shevach VeKiddush. UmiDivrei Sofrim Shetehi Zechira Zo Al Kol Shel Yayin. So the Rambam tells us that even though the source for this mitzvah that we call Kiddush is the pasuk in the Torah, which makes it a mitzvah that is min haTorah, mitzvah d'oraita, the requirement that it be done over wine, that is a requirement midrabanan. Meaning The Torah gave us a mitzvah that could have been done without wine. All you have to do on Friday night is make some declaration that today is a special day, today is a holy day, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat LeKadsho, recognize the fact that something has happened. It's not just another day. We went through Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the sun set, and all of a sudden something changed. Now, this is a holy day. We have to acknowledge that. If a person would say such a thing, min HaTorah, they fulfilled their mitzvah. However, the Chachamim, the rabbis, came along and added an additional requirement that has to be done over a cup of wine. In other words, what we have here is what we call a composite mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. There are mitzvot that are from the Torah, and there are mitzvot that are midrabanan. Here we have a mitzvah that's composite. It has both elements to it. The fundamental core of the mitzvah is min haTorah. However, there are additional aspects of the mitzvah that were instituted midrabanan. I heard once from Rav Lichtenstein, in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, that there's actually a whole category of such mitzvah. Where another example might be, at least according to the Rambam, the mitzvah of tefillah, where there's a core mitzvah that is min haTorah, but the mitzvah can be fulfilled in many ways min haTorah, and the rabbis came along and gave us specific requirements, a specific text, and a specific format, and specific times. So you have the same thing here as well. When a person makes kiddush on Friday night, they're fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraisa. However, part of the requirement is midrabanan. Min haTorah, it could have been done perhaps in other ways. The rabbis instituted a requirement that it be done over a cup of wine. There's also a requirement that it be done in conjunction with a meal. These are midrabanan. And we'll see that that's significant. It makes the mitzvah more complex and leads to some perplexing and sometimes surprising results, which we'll get to in a few minutes. In fact, we'll get to one of them right now. Okay, so that's the mitzvah. I'm talking only here about the Kiddush Friday night. The Kiddush during the daytime is completely midrabanan, and the Kiddush on Yom Tov is also completely midrabanan. I'm talking only here about the Kiddush that's said on Friday night, on Leil Shabbat. So we'll skip down now to the next, in the same source, but the part that's underlined. V'katav ha-magen Avraham, de'lefi zeh, midioraita, b'kiddush sha'omer b'tfila sagi. Dekraktiv zachoret yom haShabbat, v'harei zachar oto. B'kiddush bimkom seuda midrabanan. The Magen Avraham comes along and says, wait a second. Min haTorah, all I need to do is to say some sort of text, some sort of declaration that Shabbat is a holy day, and I fulfill the mitzvah. Midrabanan, that's not sufficient in and of itself. It has to be done with the specific bracha that the rabbis instituted, the bracha that we say Friday night, the one that begins, it has to be said over a cup of wine. It has to be said b'makom seuda in conjunction with the meal I'm about to eat. Okay. So if I enter Shabbat and I have this obligation, which is partially midaraisa and partially midrabanan, and I come to my table and I sit down and the table's set with chalot and I pick up a cup of wine and I say kiddush, at that moment, I am simultaneously fulfilling the mitzvah d'oraita, the Torah law that I'm obligated to fulfill, and I'm additionally fulfilling all of the rabbinic requirements that are attached to it. But that's often not what happens. Because usually, what I do before getting to the point that I'm going to say Kiddush al Hayayin is I say Tfilat Arvit, I daven Mariv. Now, if you look at the tefillah that we say Friday night, in our Shmoneh Esrei, the whole central bracha of the Shmoneh Esrei on Friday night is about the holiness of Shabbat. In Nusach Ashkenaz, at least, it begins, Atakidashta et Yom HaShvi'i L'Shmecha, Tachlit Masei Shemayim Va'aretz, Ve'erachto Mikol Hayamim, Mikidashto Mikol Zmanim, and it ends, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbat. In other words, says the Magen Avraham, the tefillah that I say when I daven Mariv on Friday night, I am actually saying a bracha in the context of my tefillah, which fulfills the obligation that the Torah gave for Kiddush. Had there been no further obligation, had the rabbis not required Yayin and Makom Suda, I could be finished. Therefore, says the Magen Avraham, what's the significance of that? Until I daven Mariv, I have a chiyuv of Kiddush, which is Min HaTorah. Once I finish saying Mariv, I have fulfilled the Torah obligation. Now, I'm not done with this mitzvah because the rabbi said that's not enough. The rabbi said it's got to be done ala yadim b'makom seuda. So that's why when I come home from shul and I sit down to eat, I have to make kiddush again. But, says the Magen Avraham, there's a fundamental difference in the status of my obligation before I davened Mariv and after. Before I davened Mariv, my chiyuv was d'oraita. After I said Mariv, I fulfilled the d'oraita, and the only requirement that I still have is midurabana. Lemai nafkamina, what difference does that make? So he says, if we read out, we're reading from the Mishnah Berurah, who quoted the Magen Avraham, Al Kain, he says, im safeklo in kideshalo, ein tsarich lachzor lekadesh, disfeka derabanan lekula. We know that there's a rule in halacha. What happens if I'm in a situation where it's unclear to me whether I have a certain obligation or not? Example, let's imagine that I just ate a bowl of cholent, which I didn't. Not because it's not good, just because my daughter tells me I'm going to need to have coffee on the way home, and, you know, coffee usually comes with milk, at least when it's up, fine. But had I had a bowl of cholent, there is, of course, a chiyuv, assuming you ate a kezayit, etc. So there's an obligation to make a bracha afterwards. What if I'm sitting here, and maybe there's somebody sitting here right now who's being reminded of this at this very moment, and I can't remember whether I said the bracha achrona or not. I had the bowl of cholent, that I know. I'm fully cognizant of the fact that I did eat the cholent. I can't remember whether or not I said the bracha. So what's the din? What's the law? In this case, the din is safek, usually safek brachot. In this case, lekula. And you would not make the bracha again. Why? Because the safek, the doubt, he was about a mitzvah, which is midrabana. However, I did not have a bowl of cholent, but I did have too many slices of pizza with my two daughters earlier. And it's all a question if you should make hamotzi on pizza or not, but the amount of pizza I had, there was no stuff. I had to make hamotzi. And the chiyuv of that is, the chiyuv of birkat hamazon is d'oraita. So if I would stand here and say, I don't remember whether I said birkat hamazon, then I would have to say birkat hamazon again, because that's a safek d'oraita, right? When you have a doubt about a mitzvah that's min haTorah, safek d'oraita, l'chumra, so you have to take the stricter possibility. When you have a doubt, a suffix, about a mitzvah, that's midrabanan. So says the Magen Avraham, okay, let's say you have the following situation. You're sitting at your Friday night table in the middle of the meal, and you suddenly can't remember whether you said kiddush. We remember that we said amotzi, we ate the chat, we don't remember if we said kiddush or not. Suffix. So in principle, one would assume, being that Kiddush on Friday night is, we said, a mitzvah that is min haTorah, safek d'oraita, we would say safek d'oraita l'chumra. However, says the Magen Avraham, that's assuming you didn't daven Mariv. You didn't daven Mariv, you don't know if you made Kiddush. There's a chiyuv d'oraisa to make Kiddush, safek d'oraisa l'chumra. But if you know for a fact that you said Mariv, you just don't know whether you made Kiddush, ala yayin, then you have no doubt about the mitzvah d'oraita. Because min haTorah, the mitzvah is zachar, remember Shabbat, and you did that. You said your tefillah, and you remembered Shabbat. The question is, did you fulfill the dirabanan requirements of kiddush al hayayin? That would be a suffix dirabanan, and according to the Magen Avraham, you wouldn't have to make kiddush again. Yes? Definite possibility, and we'll get to that in a second.
You said that the kiddush has to be go along with the meal. Then why in America do they do kiddush at the end of the davening?
That's also an excellent question. Tosfos has that question as well. The answer is complicated. I'll say it simple. The origin of the practice of making kiddush in the shul is because, this the Gemara tells us, is because once upon a time, back in the times of the Gemara, it was very common for there to be travelers that would be staying over and sleeping in the shul, and they would be eating in the shul as well, and therefore Kiddush was recited for them. The question is what happens in a situation when that's no longer the practice, right? Today, in most cases, if there are visitors in the community, they go to people's houses, they're not eating in the shul. Assumedly, one would therefore no longer make Kiddush in shul, which is the practice in Eretz Yisrael, for example. right? However, in Chutz La'aretz, there are many communities, and this is mentioned already in Tosfot and later on in the Shulchan Aruch, where the practice is that they do continue to make Kiddush, even though nobody fulfills the mitzvah with that Kiddush. Why that's done is a whole discussion, and not for now. Meaning, the question is better than the answer. You're 100% right to ask the question.
Yeah, I didn't get an answer.
You're right. You're right, you didn't get an answer. I can give you one, but it would take a little bit too long, and the question is better than the answer. Okay, you're 100% on the ball for asking the question. Totally. Okay, and what's important is that if no one's eating in the shul, nobody's yotzei the mitzvah with that kiddush. It could be you're supposed to say it anyway, but nobody's yotzei with it. Yeah, and that's why you have to make kiddush. Okay, so that's another one. Yes.
Sorry, do we say that we're fulfilling the deoraita obligation, but only if you do the deoraita outside the derabbanan aspects, or they're two separate?
I'm not following the question.
Meaning, if you
there's a deoraita requirement, right, and then there are derabbanan requirements built around it.
Right. So, is it possible to, if you did the deoraita aspect, you didn't do it over a kos, al kos, whatever, does that mean you need to make kiddush again because you haven't done the derabbanan aspects? Or they,
you do have to make kiddush again, for sure. The Magen Avraham is not saying...
No, sorry, in the case of doubt.
No, so that's the point. In the case of doubt, the Magen Avraham, that's the kiddush of the Magen Avraham. That if I know that I daven Maariv, but I don't know if I said kiddush, then my only doubt is about the derabbanan aspects. And therefore it's not a suffik deraisa, it's a suffik derabbanan. Okay. This is the introduction to the introduction, so if we don't keep going, this is going to take 4 hours. Yes.
Okay. If you only have, at this point, a derabbanan...
Is there a time frame this year, by the way? Because if you don't give me one, that's a really dangerous thing to do. What?
It's up to Sarah.
It's up to Sarah?
You have to drive home.
If that's the only requirement, you're still... Seriously, is there a time?
Yeah.
Is it supposed to be 45 minutes, an hour?
What's
it?
Yeah.
An hour? When do we start?
8:30.
Okay, that's it. Fine. Okay. Yes.
Can you be mochi someone who still has it, right?
Excellent question also. We'll get that in a few minutes also. Okay? All right. Now, just in terms of what you mentioned to me before, the Mishnah Brura, in the interest of time, we won't read it inside, but the Mishnah Brura disagrees with the Magen Avraham. He doesn't accept this idea that you're Yotzei D'Oraisa. And there's a number of reasons why he doesn't accept them. One of them is that he assumes that people have what you call negative kavana. In other words, that people have in mind intentionally not to be Yotzei the mitzvah, because they know when I'm davening Maariv, my intention is to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillah. And I know, even if I know that I could theoretically fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa right now, but I know that the rabbis told me not to fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa now. They told me to do it later, ala kos b'makom seuda. And therefore the Mishnah Brura thinks that you have negative kavana, and that's one of several reasons why he rejects the whole concept of the Magen Avraham. Meaning, the Magen Avraham's theory, that once a person said Maariv, they have fulfilled their mitzvah d'oraisa, that theory is not accepted by everyone, and the Mishnah Brura rejects it. Among other reasons for the question you asked. Okay? All right. That's the background. Yes?
Going on that, would the negative kavana apply automatically if that's something you already know, or would you actually have to have that kavana during davening?
I think he assumes that it's implicit. The fact that you know, if I would stop you and say, what are you doing now? You'd say, I'm saying Maariv. I would say, are you fulfilling Zachar Yom HaShabbat L'Kodesho? Or you would tell me, or are you fulfilling the mitzvah of Kiddush? You'd say, no, Kiddush I'm going to do when I'm home, because I know that that's what I'm supposed
right,
to do.
So
I
see,
yeah, it's like an implicit... Right. Okay. Now, our topic's supposed to be about women. We haven't said a word about women yet. Okay, this is the background. Okay, and the question is, if we come and we look at this mitzvah from the perspective of a woman, and we ask, is a woman obligated to perform this mitzvah? So what should our starting point be? If we knew nothing about this mitzvah, if we had some general halachic knowledge about how halacha works in general, but we knew nothing specific about this mitzvah, what would be the starting point? This would be a mitzvah asei shezman grama. Okay? Often translated into English as a time-bound mitzvah, and that is a bad translation. And I, in the interest of time, will not go into my usual lecture on why that's a bad translation, but I will just point out that cause, right? First of all, you have to point out it's a positive mitzvah, not just mitzvah asei shezman grama, not just the mitzvah shezman grama, meaning negative mitzvah, lo taseis, prohibitions, even if there's man grama, unless there's a reason otherwise, but the starting point is that women are obligated. But number two, the phrase zman grama doesn't mean time bound. It means goreim. It means caused by time. Meaning, it's not a mitzvah that has to be done within a certain time frame. That in and of itself does not make it a mitzvah, shezman grama. It's a mitzvah that the obligation is generated by the fact that it's a certain time. For example, Kriyat Shema. Right? We just said Kriyat Shema. At 4 o'clock this afternoon, there was no obligation of Kriyat Shema. Once it became night, Seita Kochavim, there was an obligation of Kriyat Shema. We just fulfilled that obligation. Right now, we are no longer obligated in Kriyat Shema because we fulfilled the mitzvah. Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow morning at Alot HaShachar, we will become obligated again. The goreim, the cause of the obligation, is time. Sukkah is a mitzvah to say Shazman Grama because you only have to do it from the 15th to the 22nd of Tishrei. Today, there's no mitzvah to sit in the sukkah. But other mitzvot, for example, the mitzvah of Birkat HaMazon, which has to be done within a certain time frame. If I ate a meal now, I can't say Birkat HaMazon 4 days from now. I have to say it within a certain time frame. It's bound by time, but it's not caused by time. The obligation to say Birkat HaMazon is caused because I ate something. I could eat in the morning, in the evening, in winter, spring, summer, fall, it doesn't matter. Okay, so mitzvah asei shazman grama, those mitzvot, unless there's reason to assume otherwise, the starting point or the general rule, there are many exceptions, but the general rule, according to some counts, there's even more exceptions than there are of the rule itself. But the general rule is that women are exempt from such mitzvot. Does Kiddush fit that description? Mitzvah asei shazman grama? Absolutely. It's a mitzvah asei. It's a positive requirement. And it's only to be done on Friday night. There's no mitzvah to say Kiddush today. Because today's Sunday, even if you serve Kiddush, cholent. Even if you serve cholent, you still don't have to make Kiddush. So it's a mitzvah asei. Shezman grama. The assumption is that women would be patur. Comes along the Gemara Masechet Brachot, third source on the page, and tells us that assumption is not correct. Amar Rav Ada Barahava, Nashim Chayavot B'Kiddush Hayom Dvar Torah. Kiddush Hayom doesn't mean the daytime. It just means the description that today is a holy day, meaning the Kiddush at night. Women are obligated in Kiddush Dvar Torah, from the Torah. That's Rav Ada Barahava's statement. The Gemara asks the question that we already asked. Am I? Why? Mitzvah asei shazman grama hu v'chol mitzvah asei shazman grama nashim p'turot. Women should be exempt. Why are they chayiv in this mitzvah? Amar Abaye midrabanan. Abaye comes along with an interesting suggestion. Maybe, says Abaye, it's midrabanan, meaning the rule that mitzvah asei shazman grama nashim p'turot tells us that the Torah, which required the mitzvah of Kiddush, obligated men to say Kiddush, but it didn't obligate women. But then the rabbis, Abaye theorizes, the rabbis came along and they said, we don't think that's such a good idea. We think women should do this also. And therefore, women's chiyuv is midrabanan. Such is Abaye's theory. Rava, of course, doesn't like that. Rava doesn't usually like things that Abaye says. So Rava says, Amar le Rava, I got two problems with your theory, Abaye. What's Abaye's theory again? Rav Ada bar Rava said women have to say Kiddush. We want to know why it's mitzvah to say Shazman Grama. And Abaye says maybe the Chiyuv is midrabanan. So comes along Rava and he says, first of all, you didn't read what Rav Ada bar Rava said. The Hadvar Torah Kama. Rav Ada bar Rava told us, go back to the first line in that source, Nashim Chayvot B'Kiddush Hayom Dvar Torah. Women's chiv, women are chayv to make kiddush from the Torah. So don't come along coming to me to Rabbanan. You haven't explained the statement of Rav Ada bar Rava, number one. Number two, logically what you said doesn't make much sense, because ve'od kol mitzvah taseh nechayvinu midrabanan. You're coming along, Abaye, and suggesting that the rabbis decided that they don't like the idea that women are exempt from this mitzvah, so they're going to make women obligate in this mitzvah. Now, the rabbis do have the authority to do that, and in fact, there are cases where they did exactly that, or at least there might be. Birkat HaMazon is such an example. It's not clear whether women's chiv to say Birkat HaMazon is from the Torah or whether it's midrabanan, but it is clear that women have to say Birkat HaMazon. So if it's not from the Torah, it's from the rabbis. And the rabbis did exactly what Abaye thinks they did here. The Torah said that women don't have to, and the rabbi said, that's okay, we're telling you you have to anyway. But, says Rava, if that's their policy, then they should do it across the board. There are a number of mitzvot that the Torah exempted women from, right? The Torah said women don't have to say Kriyat Shema. The rabbis didn't change that. They didn't come along and say, no, yes, you do. The Torah said women are exempt from tzitzis, from tefillin, from sukkah, from lulav, shofar. The rabbis didn't come along and say, no, we want you to do those mitzvot. Why all of a sudden would they pick Kiddush? So if women are chayav in Kiddush, says Rava, it's not midrabanan, it's from the Torah. And why? He continues, Ela Amar Rava, Amar Kra, and here's the key line here, Amar Kra, Zachor v'shamor. Kol sheyeshno b'shmirah, yeshno b'zchirah. The Hane Nashe, these women, Hawil v'itnehu b'shmira, itnehu b'schira. The Torah said, Zachor et yom ha-shabbat l'kodesho, that's the pasuk we started with, the pasuk that requires us to say kiddush. That pasuk is found where, we said? Sereta Dibrot, where? In Parshat Yitro, in the book of Shemot, which we're going to read in a couple of weeks. But as we know, the Aseret HaDibrot appear in the Torah twice. They're mentioned, they're listed in the book of Shemot, and they're repeated again in the book of Dvarim, in Parshat Vetchanan. And even though supposedly it's the exact same text, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Et HaDvarim Ha'ela Diber Hashem El Kol Kalchem Mitoch Ha'esh Hanan V'Rafael, if I remember correctly. So he's ostensibly quoting exactly what was said at Sinai, but for some reason, the text in Dvarim, in a number of places, differs from the text in Shemot. And this is one of the most important of those distinctions. Whereas in Shemot it says, Zachor et yom ha-shabbat l'kadesho. In Dvarim it says, Shamor et yom ha-shabbat l'kadesho. Shamor. Zachor means remember Shabbat. How do I remember Shabbat? By saying Kiddush. I got that. What is Shamor et yom ha-shabbat? If I tell you someone is Shomer Shabbat, what does that mean? They keep Shabbat. How does one keep Shabbat? By not violating it, by not desecrating it, by not violating the prohibitions of what's not allowed on Shabbat. So in other words, there's two mitzvot. There's the mitzvah zachor at Yom HaShabbat L'kadesho. That's a mitzvah aseh, which is a mitzvah aseh shehazman grama. That's the mitzvah of kiddush. And that in principle, in theory, in the abstract, women should be what? Patur exempt. But there's a mother mitzvah called Shamor et Yom HaShabbat L'kadesho. Guard, protect, keep Shabbat by refraining from doing the prohibited melachot. That's also a mitzvah Shazman Grama, but it is a mitzvah Lota Se Shazman Grama. It's a prohibition, and there's no exemption for women. So the starting point would be, okay, we have two mitzvot here. We have a mitzvah of Kiddush, that's a mitzvah Asay Shazman Grama. For that one, women should be exempt. We have another mitzvah called Shamor. That's a mitzvah lo taseh. On that mitzvah, women should be obligated. And had we had two independent separate mitzvot, that's what we would expect. However, says Rava, the Torah, by juxtaposing those two, in the, so to speak, in the same pasuk, when it appears in Shemot, it's written as Zachor, when it appears in Dvarim, it's written as Shamor, that teaches us that the two are inextricably intertwined, they are linked. V'kol sheyeshno b'shmira, yeshno b'zchira. Shabbat is a package deal. You can't be obligated to keep part of Shabbat and not the other part. So if you're prohibited from violating Shabbat, then you're also obligated in the mitzvah aseh of kiddush. So someone who doesn't have to keep Shabbat, like for example, non-Jews, they also don't have to make kiddush. But someone who does have to keep Shabbat, even if she happens to be a woman, is also obligated to say kiddush. Ah, but it's a mitzvah aseh shazman grama. Okay. So it's one of the many exceptions to that rule. Yes.
So how come like Yom Tov Sukkot, women have to keep
Sukkot
the Chag, that it's Yom Tov, but they don't
want
to sit in the Sukkah?
Because Sukkah is a mitzvah aseh shazman grama from which women are exempt. It's not an exception to the rule.
So, they are.
Well, kiddush, a woman is obligated to make kiddush. And kiddush has to be b'makom seuda.
He's asking why, how come you said that like you have the obligation because you can't have some and not others for Shabbos.
Right.
But Sukkot, you do have some and not others.
Because it's two separate mitzvot. There's a mitzvah of Shabbat, and it happens to be that Shabbat might fall out during Sukkot. Right? So it's Shabbat, it's also Sukkot.
No, I didn't mean on Shabbos.
On Yom Tov as well. You have a mitzvah to say Kiddush on Yom Tov.
No, not Kiddush, it's a Kiddush. Like, you have a mitzvah to keep Yom Tov,
Okay, now I understand. You're asking me, how come on Sukkot we don't have the same connection between the Aseh and the Lo Taseh? Yeah. Okay, now I understand. Because, unlike in Shabbat, there's no such juxtaposition. And Shabbat and Sukkot, it says Lo Taseh Komalecha, or Komalechet Avodah Lo Tasu, something like that. And separately, it says Batzukot Teshvu. But there's no link in the Pesukim that says that the two are connected. Here, the Torah set up, this is Torah Shabbat Peh, set up this link between Zachor and Shamor to say, it's not just that there are two separate mitzvot going on at the same time, but whoever is obligated to do one is obligated to do the other. In other words, you're right. Sukkot isn't that same type of package deal. Yeah?
Is Yom Kippur that package deal for the mitzvah d'oraita part of Kiddush?
You're asking if Kiddush on... Well, Kiddush on... There is no Kiddush on Yom Kippur, first of all.
I thought it was according to some opinions...
If you have to eat on Yom Kippur...
No, but not with the alakos, but d'oraita, there's Kiddush.
On Yom Kippur?
In the Tefillah. So would the connection apply to Yom Kippur?
I'm not familiar with a shita that there's a chiv of Zechira on Yom Kippur? I'm familiar. You know what you're quoting?
No.
Okay, I don't know. Okay. Tov. Okay, so now we have... Yes?
Do we have any idea where learning came up, where the rabbis came up with the idea that some mitzvah on should be... That women have to do this in the middle. Like,
so according to this,
is
it's
there
not.
Any common denominator
that
we can think of?
First of all, it's not exactly the rabbis who came up with it here. Meaning, it's Torah Shabbat Peh. The rabbis derived it, but it's not their own idea. It's not a mitzvah the rabbanon that they made up. The Torah, right? They got it from. In this case, they got it from the connection of Zachor and Shamor. Now there are other exceptions to the rule as well, but I don't know that there's necessarily a unifying link between them. Meaning, another example of a mitzvah asei shazman grama that women are obligated in is all of the mitzvot that we fulfill on the night of the Seder. Okay, the mitzvah of matzah and maror and sipur yisiyat Mitzrayim, all those mitzvot, women are obligated the same as men, and for a similar reason to here, because they're connected to the lo tasei of not eating chametz. Okay, but for example, other mitzvot. Like Ner Chanukah, there's a concept of Afhein Hayu Bo Tohanes. So I don't know that it's always the same reason, but there needs to be a reason. Meaning, the starting point is women are exempt from these mitzvot, unless there's something that dictates otherwise. So here we have such a thing. Okay, and that principle, which is set up by the Torah on the Mitzvah Aseh of Kiddush, was applied midrabanan to all the rabbinic laws of Shabbat. Because there are other mitzvot Aseh of Shabbat as well. We have a mitzvah to eat three meals on Shabbat. Women are obligated to keep that mitzvah. We have a mitzvah of hadlakat neirot, to light candles before Shabbat. Certainly women are obligated in that mitzvah. It's a chiddush to some people to hear that men have to keep that mitzvah. Some people don't realize that, because it's a mitzvah that's typically done by the woman. But it is only durabanan. There is no daraisa of ner Shabbat. Right? But all the durabanan, all the mitzvot say that the rabbis added to Shabbat, women have the same obligation as men. Because once the Torah set up this principle for the mitzvah of Kiddush, the rabbis extended it to all the mitzvot that they added to Shabbat. Any positive mitzvah that has to do with Shabbat, women are obligated the same as men, even though by definition, if it has to do with Shabbat, it's a mitzvah to say Shazman Grah. Okay? All right, I have to speed up here a little bit. Okay, so what are the ramifications of this? Now that we know that women have an obligation in Kiddush fundamentally the same as men, there are a number of ramifications to this fact. Number one. The back of the first page here. Nashim chayavot b'kiddush afal pishi mitzvah is a shulchan aruch. Afal pishi mitzvah tasei shazman grama mishum de'itkash zachor l'shmor because zachor and shmor are connected. And therefore, the underlying part, u'motziot et ha'anashim ho'il b'chayavot min ha'torah k'motan. Since women and men have the exact same obligation when it comes to kiddush, therefore, it is entirely possible for a woman to say Kiddush on behalf of a man and to be motzi the man in the mitzvah, since they have the exact same obligation. So the man can say for the woman can say for the man. Fundamentally, there is no difference. There is a source in the Mishnah Berurah that suggests that if it's a large public gathering outside of just an individual family, that perhaps he uses the expression, did I put it on the page here? I did not. I did. On the second page, the second source on the second page, Umotziot et ha'anashim, v'chein iskimu ataz, b'agavam agra v'chulei, u'mikom makom, says the Mishnah Berurah, yesh lahachmir lechatchila shelo totzi isha anashim she'ena mibnei beita dezila milta. Okay, so if somebody wants to create an egalitarian form of a kiddush situation here, the Mishnah Berurah if it's outside of the context of a private family meal, he uses the expression yesh lahachmir lechatchila, not to do it. I'm not sure that that's a prohibition. Someone who wants, people who want to, I'm not getting into the question whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, and whether, you know, how to deal with questions of egalitarianism, that's not for now. But I just want to point out that if somebody does want to do that, there's a slight barrier here, although there are significant barriers to be overcome that are much greater than the Mishnah Berurah saying, yesh lachmir lechatchila. Meaning, and certainly even the Mishnah Berurah only says it in terms of that. It sounds like in the context of a private family meal, if someone wants to have the wife say the kiddush instead of the husband, there seems to be no objection whatsoever. Fundamentally, they have the exact same obligation, and therefore the woman can say kiddush for the man. Normally, it's not done that way. It could be, but typically, the man says kiddush for the woman. But there are a number of cases where it may be necessary, dafka, for the woman to say kiddush instead of the man. Or instead of the male, at least. What would those cases be? So one case, jump back up to the first source on the page here. Let's say you have a situation where there's the first case is simple, the second case is less simple. Let's say you have a situation where you have a woman and a young boy, a child. Okay, let's make a case. We have a typical family, Abba, Ima, and some children, and the oldest son is 11, and Abba's away for Shabbat. So it's Ima and the kids. So maybe the 11-year-old boy should say kiddush. That won't work, though, because he can't be motzi, his mother. Why? Because he's only 11. He's not bar mitzvah. And therefore, he has a chiyuv to make kiddush, because he is 11 years old. A child who's old enough to understand is chayuv to do mitzvot, but only on the level of midrabanan. His chiyuv is midrabanan. Ima's chiyuv, she's an adult, is Doraita. So in such a case, she would have to say Kiddush and not her son. Just give me one second. That's not such a Kiddush. The bigger case is the next one. Vafilu hu ben yud gimel shana. Let's say he's not 11. Let's say he's 13. His bar mitzvah was 2 weeks ago. So you would assume, okay, he's an adult. He can say Kiddush for Ima. Not so simple. And here's why. We all were told when we were 13 or 12, depending what gender we are, that we're now bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah. Right? Probably we had some kind of party, something like that. So now I'm going to let you in on a secret. It's not exactly true. What do I mean by that? Meaning, we were told that when we were 13 if we were a boy or 12 when we were a girl, that we become chayav and mitzvot on that day. But that's not actually correct. I'm oversimplifying it now too. It's a major debate in the Gemara and also in the Mishonim. But the bottom line, at least according to most opinions in most circumstances, is that a person becomes an adult not when they reach a certain chronological age, but when they reach a certain stage in physical maturity. Okay, when a person's body changes from the body of a child to the body of an adult, a process that we call puberty. So that process is the process that determines adulthood in halacha. Now, of course, that process takes time. It's not a single moment or a single day. But there is actually a stage in that process defined as shtei se'arot. When a person reaches that stage of physical development, the person is an adult. The Gemara tells us, and to the best of my knowledge, contemporary medical science confirms this, that on average, girls mature slightly earlier than boys. That's why the age is different. On average, a girl when she's 12 and a boy when he's 13 has reached that stage. But of course, it depends on the person. Some people mature a little bit earlier, a few months or even a year or so earlier. Some people can be a number of months later. On average, we can assume most people, by the time they hit that age, are adults. But the reality is, you're an adult. Each person's bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah depends on their particular stage of development. Some people become an adult a little bit before the age of 12 or 13, and some people a little bit after. So what's going on with the bar mitzvah? Well, first of all, just try to imagine it. What would happen if we did things that way? If we subjected these poor children to these, right? And the poor bar mitzvah boy has been working on his parsha, and then he has to explain to everybody. So Baruch Hashem, and please do not discuss this with bar mitzvah children. They should not know this halacha until they're older, both for halachic reasons and for psychological reasons. But the reality is that. Although some bar mitzvah boys are not actually halachic adults at their bar mitzvah, and some girls are not halachic adults at their bat mitzvah. The halacha is that for mitzvot derabanan, we are allowed to, if we don't know the facts, we're not obligated to find out, and we can rely on what's called a chazaka. We can rely on the assumption that since this kid is 13 years old, let's say, so for example, you go to shul on Shabbat and there's a bar mitzvah boy, and they, oh, am I breaking this?
No.
Okay, sorry. You go to shul on Shabbat and there's a bar mitzvah boy, and he gets up and he reads from the Torah for the whole shul, and we don't really know if he's bar mitzvah or not, because we haven't conducted a physical examination on him. But since Kriyas HaTorah, almost all the time, is midrabanan, and since there's a chazaka, there's an assumption that if he's 13 years old, he's probably bar mitzvah, we're allowed to rely on that assumption, but not when there's a daraisa. And at least once a year there is a chiyuv daraisa to read the Torah on Shabbat Zachor, and if you notice, they don't usually let the bar mitzvah boy read Parshat Zachor for that reason. And if you're in shul, and there is a bar mitzvah, and they told them that we're going to let Zaidi read the Parsha, don't start explaining to him why, but that's the reason. Okay? Because that's daraisa, and it's not clear that we can be yotzi with him. Just one second. So says the Mishnah Berurah, in our hypothetical, I'll take your question in one second. Says the Mishnah Berurah, in our hypothetical case, where Abba's away for Shabbat, and Ima's home with her son, not only if the son is 11, can he not say Kiddush for his mother, but even, one second, even if the son is 13, he can't say Kiddush for his mother, even if he had his bar mitzvah a month ago. Because when he got his bar mitzvah, and he got up and he read the Torah for the whole shul, we relied on the assumption that he's probably an adult, because that was only a derabanan. But now his mother has to fulfill a mitzvah d'oraita. And therefore, she can't assume he's an adult for that. Until we know for sure. How do we know for sure? Once he gets a beard. That happens at a later stage. Once you see he's got a beard, so then you can assume, you know for a fact he's bar mitzvah, so then you can rely on him. I'll take all questions in one second. Therefore, it's not that. And the Mishnah Berurah goes through a whole case here. Even if the woman, let's say you have a situation where the woman doesn't know how to say Kiddush. She doesn't know how. And there's a boy there who does. She still can't rely on him because he can't fulfill her mitzvah. What you'd have to do in such a case is let the woman hold a cup of wine and he can dictate it to her word for word and she can repeat after him. But she has to say Kiddush herself. Unless, says the Mishnah Berurah, don't ask me how this is possible that she was able to do this and not be able to make Kiddush, but Bonagid, she did daven Ma'ariv, but she doesn't know how to say Kiddush. Okay, so in such a case, then he says you can rely on the boy. Why? Because of the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham, which, by the way, the Mishnah Berurah said he doesn't really accept, but in this case, for reasons that I won't go into now, he would rely on it. If she didn't say Ma'ariv, and she doesn't know how to say Kiddush, this boy, who's 13 years old and just had a bar mitzvah, can't say Kiddush for her. He can dictate it to her, but then she has to be the one to say it. But if she, because why? Because it's a daraisa. We don't rely on the chazaka of a 13-year-old boy in that case. But if she said Ma'ariv, so then according to Magen Avraham, she fulfilled her mitzvah daraisa. All she's left with is the derabanan requirement of Kiddush. For that, she can rely on the bar mitzvah boy the same way the whole shul did for Kriyas HaTorah last week. Okay, now I'll take the questions. Yes?
Right. So, tangentially speaking, where you have the bar mitzvah boy, it's Parsha, if one of the congregants knew,
he's the kid's pediatrician.
So, Bevadaut, he knows that he hasn't actually.
He doesn't know. He might know that when he examined him 2 days ago, he didn't. But unless he examined him 5 minutes ago, he doesn't know.
Oh,
we would still rely on the chazaka. Okay? And don't ask him any questions. Yes?
You said that on Friday night it's Durabana to make Kiddush, and on Doraita, and on Shabbat it's Durabana.
During the daytime it's Durabana, correct.
Okay, so let's say it's daytime. So
then the kid can say Kiddush for his mother.
Okay.
Correct. Okay. This is only Friday night. Also, if it's Yom Tov, this doesn't apply. This only applies if it's Yom Tov, which is not also Shabbat.
Okay, so then it would be preferable for the 11-year-old to say?
I don't know if it would be preferable. I wouldn't say that, but it's not even preferable. Like I said, she could say it for her husband if she wants. She could say it for her son, too. But if he wants to say it...
They're both
Derabanan, so it's okay. So there's a, I was about to say I'm oversimplifying a little, but there is a little bit of a question when it's one Durabanan versus two Durabanans, right? But it's much less of an issue, at least, in such a case. Okay. Now, I'm just running late, and I want to get to Havdalah, so I'll just mention briefly the Rabbi Akiva Eger here. This is a situation that some people may have heard of. There's a sefer called Dagul Mirvava, who came up with the following question. So I just told you that although it's not all that commonly done, in theory there's no problem, let's say, if my wife would want to make Kiddush instead of me on Friday night. I mean, the same way I can make Kiddush for her, she can make Kiddush for me. In theory, there should be no problem. Says the Dagul Mirvava, not only should there be no problem, but maybe she has to. Why? Let's take the following case. Let's say I go to shul in Daven Maariv, which I try to do every Friday night, and I usually succeed. By Maariv, I'm usually there. You did nefesh is another story, but by Maariv, I'm usually there. Okay. So, and my wife, who also likes to Daven Maariv, and usually does, but since she's a woman and she's not obligated to say Maariv, she doesn't always get to say it, at least before the meal. So let's say we get to a situation where I Daven Maariv and she didn't. According to Magen Avraham, her chiyuv is still deraisa, that mine is derabanan. So forget about can she say it for me. The question is, can I say it for her? Maybe she has to say Kiddush. Now, nobody says that, but why not? So the answer will take me more time than I have because I'm running late. There is an answer. And there are a number of answers. First of all, according to Mishnah Berurah, we said he doesn't really accept the Magen Avraham in the first place, and so on that level, it's not that much of a question. There's a principle called Yatza Motzi. Somebody who fulfilled a mitzvah already can still do it on behalf of somebody else. On Rosh Hashanah, right? Somebody didn't make it to shul. Someone's sick, or elderly, or something like that. Somebody comes in the afternoon and blows shofar for them. That person probably heard shofar and shul already in the morning. So they fulfill the mitzvah. How can they do it again? It's based on a principle called, where's Dvorah? Principle called? Right, yeah, but which is based on? Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, right? So, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, we're all responsible for one another, therefore you could do that. Probably that's the basis for how a man can say Kiddush for his wife, but it's an interesting question. If you want to be machmir, you could have the wife say Kiddush for the husband, or you could have the wife daven Maariv, and then you don't have the problem. Yes?
Isn't it a question whether this works from man to woman?
So that's the complication that I'm not going into. Dagul Mirvava seems to think that Arevus doesn't work for between men and women, and he quotes a Rush to back that up, but if you read the Rush inside, that is absolutely not what the Rush says. Rabbi Akiva Eger says what he said makes no sense, and it's very difficult to understand why he says that. But yes, that's what it's based on. Yes?
Then wouldn't that solve the case in the beginning that if the man is a suffix, if he davened, if he said kiddush or not, he davened mar because his wife would still be chayev. Oh no, because then
too. No, we're talking about a case where if there's somebody there who has no suffix, then obviously that would be a solution.
Right, but,
right. Well, but let's assume everybody has a suffix now. Okay.
Isn't there a day that wife can just say Shabbat Shalom and she's fulfilled her obligation?
Perhaps. If the Daraisa level is, I don't know about Shabbat Shalom, but you may have to use the word Kadosh, you might say Shabbos Kodesh or something, right? Zachor Yom HaShabbat LeKadosho, but if she makes some declaration, then she can fulfill it that way also. Yes. Okay. Let's talk about Havdalah. Havdalah is much more complicated. And here's why. The question is, what's the basis for the obligation of Havdalah in the first place? So if we start with the Rambam, where is this? I'm sorry, the last source on this page, the third page, Rambam Hilchot Shabbat Per Chavter Alach Aleph, the Rambam says the following, Mitzvah Aseh Min HaTorah L'Kadesh Et Yom HaShabbat B'Dvarim, we read this Rambam before, Shenema Zachor Yom HaShabbat L'Kadesho, V'Tzarich L'Zachreihu B'Knisato Uvitziato, b'knisato b'kiddush hayom, uvitziato b'havdalah. According to the Rambam, you know where the mitzvah of havdalah comes from? Not only does it come from the mitzvah of Kiddush, it is the mitzvah of Kiddush. According to the Rambam, the mitzvah of Kiddush has to be done twice. Zachor et Yom HaShabbat LeKadosho. We have to recognize the holiness of Shabbat twice. When it begins, when it comes in, and when it leaves, when it ends. Havdalah is just Kiddush part two. And it's part of the same mitzvah. If that's the case, what would be the situation of a woman in Kiddush according to the Rambam? Same as Kiddush. I'm sorry, in Havdalah. Same as Kiddush. It's the same mitzvah. A woman would have a chiyuv deraisa in Havdalah, the same way she has a chiyuv deraisa in Kiddush, and the same way a man has a chiyuv deraisa in both, and a woman could say Havdalah for a man, the same as it's all the same. This is the Shittas Rambam. There's only one problem with the Rambam, and that's that the Gemara doesn't say that, and no one knows where the Rambam got it from. It's a very difficult Rambam. And there were some theories where he got it from. Yeah? Why not? I understand that, but this is still the mitzvah is still to recognize Shabbat as Shabbat begins and as Shabbat ends.
So maybe the relationship of binding the Kiddush to the
it's the same mitzvah though. It's the same mitzvah. Yeah, there's one mitzvah to say Kiddush and Havdalah together.
Maybe the binding aspect though isn't present anymore.
I don't know. I don't know why you would say that. But hold on to. I understand that. Hold on to your theory though, because it's gonna. What you're saying now is going to make more sense in the next source. Okay, so hold on. According to the Rambam, Kiddush and Havdalah are one and the same, and therefore they're both deraisa, and therefore obviously women are chayiv and Havdalah. Well, you don't think it's obvious, but that's what all the commentaries say about the Rambam. But most other opinions disagree with the Rambam because there's no source for what the Rambam says. And therefore, most authorities are of the opinion that Havdalah is not min haTorah at all. But it's a mitzvah derabbanan. The rabbis instituted a mitzvah to say Havdalah. They thought we shouldn't just let Shabbat just slip away. What do they say? Ebb away. Right? We shouldn't let Shabbat just ebb away. We should make some recognition of that with a bracha. So if Havdalah is min derabbanan and not deraisa, then what would you say about women? Then it should go back to being a regular ordinary mitzvah to say she's a mongrel and women should be exempt. That's one possibility.
Or the rabbis wanted them obligated anyways when they created
the chiyuv. Oh, why would you assume that? Right.
And
all we already said, right, exactly. All the other mitzvot of, that the rabbis made all kinds of mitzvot for Shabbat, right? They made Havlakat Neirot and Shalosh Sudot. And all those mitzvot they obligated women in because they took the Torah's model. And they said, oh, the Torah said that mitzvot say about Shabbat, women should be chayavim. We're going to do that too. And this is the position of the Magid Mishnah. On the last page here, Magid Mishnah says, Midivir Rabbeinu Nira Beveirur, Rabbeinu is the Rambam. According to Rambam, it's clear, he says, Shehusa Beishah Avdolah Gamkein Dvar Torah Vakol Bepal Zachor. I don't know why I only underlined the first line here. I should have underlined more. But if you read on, he says, clearly women are obligated according to Rambam in Havdalah. And not only that, he writes, like in the middle there, there's a dot, the Yeshomrim, like four lines from the bottom of that source. The Yeshomrim she Havdalah eina elami divrei sofrim. Some say that Havdalah is only midrabanan. Aval hakiddush hu dvar Torah. Vida, says the Magid Mishnah, she divrei hakol according to everyone. Echad anashim ve'echad nashim, whether they're men or women, chayavim hein bekiddush hayom. And last line, the Havdalah nami, he says. Last line, Havdalah also. Imi dvar Torah nafkalan chiyuv nunashim mehatam. If it's me min haTorah, the women's obligation is from there. Ve'imi mi divrehem. And even if it's mi derabanan, dumya de kiddush tiknuha, they still would have made it modeled against kiddush. Therefore, the Magen Avraham claims that it makes no difference whether Havdalah is deraita or derabanan. Either way, women have an obligation. Havdalah is the same as men. If it's deraita, it's the same. It's and even if it's derabanan, so it's derabanan. But it's still the same as men's chiyuv, and the same way the rabbis made women chayiv and all the other mitzvot of Seif Shabbat, they would be doing the same thing here. And therefore, according to the Magid Mishnah, everyone agrees that women's chiyuv and Havdalah is the same as men's, whatever it is, either it's deraisa or derabanan, but it's the same as men. And therefore, for example, in our question, can a woman make Havdalah for a man? The answer would then be, yes, it's the same obligation, either deraisa or derabanan, so says the Magid Mishnah. However, we're almost done. However, Am I out of time? Let's see. I have 5 minutes. It might be six, but we'll be done. Okay. So, what did I do here? Okay, Shulchan Aruch. Nashim chayavot b'havdala kishem shayavot b'kiddush. Women are obligated in havdala the same as they're obligated in kiddush. V'yesh mi shecholek. But there is someone who disagrees. And the someone who disagrees, the Taz tells us, is the sefer known as Or Chot Chaim. It's an Ashkenazic Rishon, if I remember correctly, from the 13th century, from Germany. And he says, let's look in the beginning there, the Taz. V'zeh l'shono, nashim ein mavdilot latzman. De'ein havdalat fluya b'shmirat Shabbat. El rabbanan asmechuha akra. The rabbis made it up, and therefore he thinks it's a chiyuv midrabbanan. And he thinks it's a mitzvah naseisha zman grama, which women should be exempt from. Now, the question that one needs to ask about the Or Chot Chaim. I understand that Havdalah very likely is not deoraita. The Rambam says it is, but it's a difficult position. But, and therefore Havdalah seems to be more likely a mitzvah derabanan. But since we already said that all the mitzvah derabanan on Shabbat, women have the same obligation as men, Hadlakat Neirot, etc., why should Havdalah be different? And the answer would be what you said before. Because maybe Havdalah is not really... Now, it's not enough to say that Havdalah is done when it's not Shabbat. Because Hadlakat Neirot is also done when it's not Shabbat. When Hadlakat Neirot is done, there's also no Isser Malacha. How could there be an Isser Malacha? The mitzvah is to light a candle. Right? But Hadlakat Neirot, although it's done on Chol, is done for the sake of Shabbat, right? The reason for lighting Shabbat candles, we don't do the mitzvah on Shabbat, because we can't. We have to do the mitzvah before Shabbat, so that there will be light on Shabbat. So the mitzvah is for the sake of Shabbat. That is the mitzvah that the women are obligated in. But what's the purpose of Havdalah? Yeah?
It's like a Yeridan and Aliyah, like you make...
Okay. Okay. That's an interesting way to put it. But let's sharpen it a little bit. What's the bracha of Havdalah? Baruch Ata Hashem, Hamavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol. Now there's two ways to look at that. One way to look at that is the way the Rambam did. That what's Havdalah basically? It's a mirror image of Kiddush. When Shabbat begins, I announce, Mekadesh HaShabbat, Shabbat is beginning. And when Shabbat ends, just 1 second, when Shabbat ends, I announce, Hamavdil ben Kodesh L'chol, Shabbat is ending. If you look at Havdalah that way, whether it's D'oraita or D'rabbanan is irrelevant. If you look at Havdalah that way, then Havdalah is part of the system of mitzvot of Shabbat. There's, and again, it's not done on Shabbat, but just like Hadlakat Neirot is done before Shabbat, but it's a mitzvah that relates to Shabbat. So Havdalah might be done after Shabbat, but it also relates to Shabbat. And then women should be chayiv. But maybe there's a different way to look at Havdalah. Maybe Havdalah really has nothing to do with Shabbat. And I'm not sure if this is what you mean by Yerida Letzor Chaliyah exactly. But what's the bracha Hamavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol? Maybe the bracha is not praising God for the fact that the holy day of Shabbat just ended. But rather, maybe Havdalah praises God for the fact that we have now 6 days of Chol. Sheshet yamim ta'avod ve'asita kol melachtecha v'yom ha'shvi'i Shabbat l'Hashem Elokecha. Maybe Havdalah is not a bracha to be said at the end of Shabbat, but at the beginning of the Sheshet Yimei Melacha. Maybe Havdalah is not a mitzvah to be said on Motzai Shabbat, but a mitzvah to be said at the beginning of Sunday. And if that's the case, then it shouldn't be at all related to the rule of Zachor v'Shamor, and women should then be exempt. And this, therefore, is that what you want to say? Or ask?
Related.
Want to ask her?
So, the Rambam, if it's the right of to do Havdalah, maybe the right of fulfillment of Havdalah can be done with any malacha whatsoever, or even kavana, and then it's just the Derabanan cum that was instituted to do it ala kos with the fire and everything.
Well, the fire, I'm about to get to the fire. The fire is not actually part of the mitzvah of Havdalah at all. It's a separate mitzvah. And although there's a question whether women are chayiv in Havdalah or not, almost every opinion agrees that women are not chayiv in the mitzvah of ner, because that mitzvah is definitely not about Shabbat. The whole reason we light a fire on Saturday night, we do melacha and benefit from the melacha, and the bracha, Bari Merei Ha'esh, praises Hashem for giving us the ability to do melacha. So that mitzvah of the candle, everyone agrees. Well, just about everyone agrees. What?
The Rambam,
it's a separate mitzvah. The Ner is for sure, not only is it for sure mitzvah Rabbanan, it's not part of Havdalah. It's a separate mitzvah altogether. Okay. So, yeah.
I don't know if this is relevant, but I remember when once that was, I forgot who said it, but that was a reason that like it was unclear whether women should make Havdalah because they're not obligated in Ashes when there's a hefsek between the Brachot.
Okay, well, I'll get to that in a second. First of all, about Havdalah itself. Okay, the bottom line about Havdalah, the Shulchan Aruch, back to the Shulchan Aruch there, the Shulchan Aruch tells us it's a question whether women are chayiv in Havdalah or not. He says, the Shulchan Aruch seems to say they are, but he says, v'yesh mi shecholek, there are those who argue. The Ramah says, al kein lo yavdil latzman rak yishmu Havdalah min ha'anashim. Therefore, because it's a safek, and again, I'm skipping over some of the details here, because one needs to ask, even if they're exempt, why they can't do it for themselves anyway. And it's not a simple question to answer, but the bottom line is that the Ramah says that since there's a doubt about this, women should not say Havdalah from themselves, that rather they should hear Havdalah from a man. Therefore, bottom line, ideally speaking, when there is a man present to make Havdalah, it is preferable for the man to say Havdalah, not the woman. Unlike Kiddush. That is what is to be done when that option is available. What is to be done if that option is not available? So you have a bunch of women who are together and there are no men there. What are they supposed to do? So what's the problem? No, it's not clear if they have a chiyuv, and there's even an opinion that they shouldn't say Havdalah. Therefore, the Ramah says the best thing for them to do is hear Havdalah from a man, they're yotze all positions. But when that option is not available, and so if there's a man there, the Ramah says very clearly that the woman should not say Havdalah. They may not have a derabanan at all. That's for sure. The Aruch HaShem definitely says that they don't have a derabanan. The question is, even if they don't have a chiyuv, what's wrong with them doing it voluntarily? That's the part that's difficult to explain. The Aruch HaShem definitely holds that they don't have a chiyuv. And he seems to say, and the Ramah at least understands in that way, that they shouldn't even do it. So if a woman hears Havdalah from a man, there's no problem at all. Whatever shita you have, if she's chayav d'oraisa, she fulfilled it. If she's chayav d'rabbanan, she fulfilled it. If she's not chayav, she still did the mitzvah. And if she's not supposed to do it, she didn't do anything wrong, and everything's fine, and there's something in Kabbalah about women not drinking the wine from Havdalah. If you care about it does not say anything about growing beard or hair on any other part of your body. That it does not say, but it does say, there is an opinion in the Shlah, it doesn't say that how high you hold the candle makes a difference either. And if you ask my wife, she will tell you that it doesn't work from experience. But just one time, let me just finish this up, okay? So, bottom line, I'm going to wrap this up quickly, and then maybe I'll take questions, you know, after we end, so that we don't have to hold people that are falling asleep and need to go study for finals. But just quickly, the ideal situation, therefore, is for the women to say Havdalah, to not say Havdalah, but to hear from a man. However, what is to be done when that option isn't available? If there are no men available, so then the Mishnah Berurah says, you can look in the last sources there, that if there are no men there, then a woman's only choice is to say it or not say it. And since the majority opinion is that she does have a chiyuv, and even if she doesn't have a chiyuv, there's a strong argument that she could do it anyway. So if there's a man to say it for you and you can fulfill all shitos, that's the best thing. If there is no man, then a woman definitely should say Havdalah for herself. Then there's a question about the Ner. And there are those who say that she shouldn't say the bracha the Ner in the middle of the Havdalah because maybe it would be a hefsek, and there are those who say the bracha the Ner afterwards, but many feel it's okay to do it, you know, in the regular way. One last point. What about if you have the following case? You have a woman who hasn't heard Havdalah, and there is a man available. But that man did say Havdalah. Okay? So
did he make it on the kosher?
He made Havdalah on the kosher. He said Havdalah, right? And then this woman comes over to him, can you make Havdalah for me? I'm very sorry, I already said Havdalah. Okay? So what do you do then? The Mishnah Berurah says the woman should still say Havdalah for herself. Because now, there is a concept we said before, of Yatza Motzi. And even though he said Havdalah, he could potentially say it for her again. But here's the thing. He can only say it for her if she has an obligation. And if she has an obligation, then she could say it for herself. And if she doesn't want, to say it for herself because maybe she has no obligation, so according to that opinion, he can't say it for her either. And it's even worse because it could be that she has no chiyuv, but she can still say it. But if she has no chiyuv, then he says it's bracha batala. So, why am I mentioning this? Sometimes this happens with like Safta. Okay, because Safta, you know, was taught when she was a little girl that women don't say Havdalah, and she's very upset, and because she wants her grandson or somebody to say Havdalah for her, and he didn't realize he already made Havdalah, and he says, Safta, you can say it for herself, and she says, no, and, as Yeshama l'smoch. Okay, and the post can say that if the woman really doesn't want to say it, you know, so the man can say it for her, because he can rely on the sheet just that she's chayav to, but clearly it's better in such a case for the woman to say Havdalah for herself. So, bottom line with Kiddush is that men's and women's chiyuv is the same. Man can say for the woman. In principle, the woman can say for the man, except maybe zila milta, you know, those type of things. But fundamentally, it's the same. And if you have a situation where there's a man who it's not clear that he can be motzi the woman, such as he's not exactly a man, but, for example, a 13-year-old boy, then definitely the woman should say a Kiddush instead of the man. Havdalah, however, is different. Havdalah, ideally, man should say... A woman shouldn't even say it for herself, ideally. Best thing is for women to hear it from a man. If that's not possible, then the women should say it by themselves. And, you know, that's basically the bottom line. I'll stop here. Any questions you can take personally, privately, whatever, you can just ask me. And once again, kol hakavod to everyone for coming out here. And if you'd like me to come back and do something a little bit less technical at another point, I'm happy to do that as well. Have a good evening.
Thanks. Thank you so much for coming. This half the room, if you want to come over to Abdullah next week, feel free. So if you could please look at the back of the chairs and stack them with ones that are the same labels on the back, it would be very helpful. Thank you.
Wait, one more thing. I got